that's a good art.
Zena Swanson is an Ōtautahi Christchurch-based artist working amongst an artistic practice of painting, drawing, sculpture and installation. Her practice delves into the exploration of both the fluctuating and porous relationship between human and the natural world, often looking into these uncanny plant-related laws that occupy a slight nod to a darker view of humanity's relationship with the natural world. Her current exhibition on Atsuma, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs, continues and builds on Swanson's exploration of the natural world, navigating its rhythms and textures. Within this exhibition, Swanson looks to the sycamore plant, specifically their seeds, producing an inquisitive new body of work that includes series of paintings, both acrylic on canvas and watercolour on paper, as well as human-scale sculptures in clay and painted steel, inviting us to look a bit closer at the natural world around us and ponder in its porous boundaries between humans. I had a kōrero with Zena Swanson about the show and overall practice. Would you like to start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
My name's Zena Swanson. I'm an artist based in Ōtautahi. I guess I've been practicing for around 2 decades now, mainly based in Ōtautahi, but I've done, after the earthquakes, my partner and I moved to Tamaki for a year and a bit, and then I was in Dunedin for 2.5 years when I did the Francis Hodgkins Fellowship in 2013. In terms of my work, I guess my work uses pre-existing scientific, pseudoscientific and natural histories in order to kind of examine the way humans relate to the natural world. Yeah, I'm also really interested in anthropomorphism, which is the attribution of human form, physical features, emotions, personalities or behaviours to non-human. And in my case, I guess that's from the plant world.
Wonderful. And I wanted to start this conversation by speaking to, you kind of already mentioned it, but this propelling and anchoring point of your practice, this exploration of the natural world and its connection and relationship with humans, often looking into these uncanny plant-related laws. What originally drew you to this navigation of the plant and human relationship?
It's really hard to pinpoint. My mum is an avid gardener and my dad is he's retired now, but he was a doctor in geology. So kind of those two, their background, I think, really influenced what I ended up being interested in. There's a particular work that I made at art school where I collected hundreds of rose thorns and put them on the top of a chair. And that was kind of the first work that I made that used natural materials and multiples, and really kind of kicked off my interest in collecting things, I guess.
So with your mum as a gardener, you kind of grew up in that space of the natural world and really appreciating it and being around.
I wasn't necessarily that interested in it when I was younger, but I have my own garden now, so that definitely affects a lot of my work.
It's funny how things kind of seep into you without you knowing.
Yeah, definitely. And the art school work, like, it was really bad. But I still collect. That was kind of repetitive use of materials, and that's something that's kind of been with me since then. So it's quite interesting.
And your current exhibition on Atsuma, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs, presents a body of work showcasing a beautiful new series of sculptures and paintings, both acrylic on canvas and watercolour on paper. This series follows and builds upon your fascination with the natural world and its rhythms and textures, with this exhibition specifically drawing from the sycamore plant. Would you talk a bit about how the sycamore found its place as the starting point and the kind of opening for this new series of work?
So a lot of the time it's things from my own lived experience, and in this case it was no different. So I just found the seeds in my garden, in the backyard, and then I spent ages trying to find the parent tree, and I never actually found it. So I just collected the seeds and had them hanging in the studio for ages. I think I started by doing some really basic watercolour, kind of botanical sketches really, of the seeds. And then I started seeing them, it ended up being that 17-piece watercolour series. So I started seeing them as eyebrows, and then it kind of grew and grew into this, face, and then it disappears into the massive.
I remember in my own childhood playing with these, seeds.
Definitely.
So did you just stumble upon them and really find this fascination with them?
Yeah, Yeah, I guess things end up in the studio and they just kind of sit there for a while and end up making their way into the work a lot of the time. Yeah, and then I did the sort of direct botanical sketches of them, and then they grew into the watercolour series, and then I also made the terracotta seed forms.
Mm.
So for those, each one has an actual, so I press an actual seed into the back of the, into one side of the terracotta, and because I was doing like 800 plus, maybe, I ended up doing the seeds, like they didn't last that long when you're pressing them in.
Mm.
With terracotta, they end up kind of disintegrating, I guess. So then I had to keep trying to find the seeds around my street, and I couldn't find the parent tree, so I just ended up being like this, skulking up and down the street looking for them.
Yeah, wonderful. You have talked about this watercolour as the starting point. It's the 17-part watercolour on paper that spans the whole length of this gallery wall, an intricate series that builds and unfolds as you physically move along the space alongside the works, beginning with a single pair of sycamore seeds that have separated to the 17th part where the face has been built up but then sunken back into its sea of seeds. Could you speak a bit to this work and its significance as this immersive series that plays with the building and the collapse of the human form?
Yeah, so I guess it started with those, I think the first three are quite kind of direct botanical drawings, and then it morphs into the eyebrows and the eyes and the full face structure, and then it gets sort of obliterated completely so you can barely tell that there's a face. At the time of making that work, I had sort of discovered this theory of, it's called plant blindness, and it was coined by two, I think, they're both educators and botanists, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So the sort of, I guess it's a theory that some people are unable to see plants in their natural environment. I guess it's kind of a cognitive, there's a little quote here I've got, the proposed form of cognitive bias, which in its broadest meaning is a human tendency to ignore plant species. And, so I guess that were kind of, I was thinking about those things when I was making that.
Yeah.
You know, humans tend to be, another great word was zoo chauvinist, so we tend to favour things that we can relate more directly to, like our own features. You know, animals, we can kind of anthropomorphise those, but plants, it's more difficult to do that. So, yeah, maybe that's the reason that some people pay less attention. Yeah, even though they have such an important part in the biosphere, I guess, yeah.
Mm. And was it important, or did it just kind of like play out as this? Because it's a really large 17-part series that really forces the viewer to like move along in the space with it. Was that important to have that kind of movement in the series
definitely.
About it? Yeah,
definitely. And I feel like it can go either way as well. So whether you view it left to right or right to left, it sort of, I think it's interesting both ways. I kind of struggled with how to present it actually. Like initially it was going to be on a sort of a tabletop, so you look down at it. But,
I think it's quite wonderful. It's kind of at face height.
Exactly. So that was the what I.
Yeah, it connects connects the body in a wonderful way.
Yes.
Yeah, and as you move through the gallery, the work continues this navigation between the push and pull of human form and the form of the plant and natural world, blurring these boundaries between human and plant. I want to speak a little bit about the figures and human forms within your work. Some appear to represent more of a general sense of a human, while others seem to lean more into specific features, maybe even becoming a self-portrait. Could you speak a bit to this?
Definitely there are two self-portraits in there. Partner always jokes about how I make myself look horrible. Often it's the case that I'm just here. So I take a really bad photo of myself on my phone and then use that as the, to draw, to paint from that. But a lot of the time, I guess, especially with the 17-piece one, it's sort of, I'm kind of thinking about a more generic human, and not me.
Yeah. And this body of work has this real element of repetition within it, repeated motifs, forms and imagery that circulate the gallery space, indicators of human features or their presence intermingled with the plant world that almost warrant an element of unsettlement. Bringing these features into the three-dimensional are these human-scaled sculptures that sit amongst the show, mimicking the likes of the human spine as well as the falling seed pods themselves. Could you speak a little bit about the translation of these forms and ideas from the paintings and kind of get into these sculptural explorations of them? Does the sculptural element kind of add something to the series that the paintings can't quite articulate by themselves?
Yeah, I think also just back to the self-portrait and the paintings, I kind of consider those sculptures to be a sort of self-portrait too, because they're based exactly on my height. And I suppose the thing with sculpture is, you know, it gets in your space more than a painting can, so you have to walk around it and yeah, it has a direct relationship to the body, which is always, like, I'm always thinking about the relationship to the body, mine and the viewers, when I'm making sculptures. With those pieces, I started with making the terracotta seeds, and I actually always intended that I would make a shirt that the seeds would be attached to, which would then hang on the coat hanger.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had amassed like hundreds of them and then I threaded them on the piano wire, it just became super obvious that they were like a spine. And so I kept the coat hanger as like a reference to head and shoulders, I guess. Yeah, I suppose I've always been interested in repetition, and this is no different, this show. Someone did say to me, why don't I cast them all? And it just seemed so obvious that I wouldn't. Because, you know, each one has a different... I used pins and dentistry tools to do the faces, so each one has, like, a different expression of anguish, I guess.
Yeah, when I first walked in, I saw them, and I was like, oh, my God, there's so many of them. I thought that you may have casted them, but then when I got up close and Dan also gave me one to take home.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's sitting in my room. I love it so much.
Nice.
You get close to it and look at all those features and those impressions of the sycamore seed, and it's that's so beautiful, those little imperfections and those
Thank you.
Yeah. So
yeah, I definitely get sick sort of enjoyment from making like extreme multiples, I guess. It can become quite a meditative process, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, and it kind of relates to those, when you're a child and you're rummaging in the grass and you constantly find them and touch each one and kind of do it, and it's got that personal element of connection and to the hand to all of them.
Yeah. And of course no two seeds are the same, are they? So
no.
Why would you cast them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And included in the show, you also have these small green pieces of paper displaying a poem that you have written for the exhibition on offer to take and hold while viewers walk around the gallery. And also, which I think is lovely, is to also take home into the viewers' own lives with them. With that in mind, do you have any hopes or nuggets of thought that you wish for people to bump up against or just feel through experiencing this body of work?
In terms of the text, I kind of hoped that it functioned as like a vague insight into the making process and into the sycamore plant itself. In terms of what people take away, I think if people feel anything, it's kind of a win. And I guess if it encourages people to notice things differently in the natural world, then that's also a good thing. Whereas in my shows, I've never really had a specific something in mind that I want people to go away with. Yeah, but when I make the works, my relationship always with a specific plant material that I'm using, my relationship with it always changes, like, forever. Like, I've done works with daisies and nettles, and so my relationships with those things has changed forever. So maybe if it does that to the viewer, then that's also a good thing.
Yeah.
An interesting thing for them. I don't know if they notice things differently then.
Yeah, beautiful. No, it definitely had that effect on me. It's
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, something that I hadn't really, I don't know, taken much thought of since I was a child.
Yes.
Suddenly you're in a room full of them and you think thinking about them in a different way and appreciating them in a different way and kind of, bringing new ideas and contexts around them and having that little poem and that little piece to take home is kind of that reminder.
Good. That's good. It's the first little piece of writing I've kind of put physically out into the world, so it's a little bit nerve-wracking, but
that's beautiful.
I enjoy writing those things, so
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I think it's a wonderful accompaniment to the show as well.
Oh, thank you.
All good. That was Zena Swanson speaking to me about her current exhibition at SUMA, Their Seeds Are Winged and Born in Pairs, which is on until the 4th of October.